I want to speak to you about mature Christians. Mature Christians, or dare I say, perfect Christians. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 4. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, the disciples of God, for considered him who endured such hostility from sinners against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. God wants to make us perfect in our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We have had an easy life up to yet. We haven't had to shed our blood for Christ. Amen. All right, so what does it imply for us to be mature Christians? We're going to look at a very well-known scripture. That was only the introduction part of my service. Very, very well scripture is Matthew 5, verse 1 to 16, the Beatitudes. And you're going to say, oh, that is boring. We know that off by heart. So, but we're going to look at it in any case. Matthew 5, verse 1 to 16. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there with me, just to make sure that I don't read falsely. Amen. And seeing the multitudes, this is Jesus, he went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. That scripture in Matthew I don't like all that much, so I'll rather read it for you in Mark. Mark 3 verse 13 recalls the same scripture. And he went up the mountain and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He went up the mountain, and Jesus called to him those that he wanted to be with him on the mountain. Then he opened his mouth and taught and said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you revile and are persecuted, when you persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you, you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Believers are salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but be thrown down and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Up to there. What makes this scripture so important? God spoke to men openly in the Garden of Eden. Then sin came in and the fall of man came. God did not speak again to man openly. Jesus was born 4,000 years later. He grew up to the age of 30. A prophet, according to the law, was only allowed to be a prophet at the age of 30. So Jesus did nothing before the age of 30. After he was mature, 30 years old, he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. He was tempted in the wilderness. He chose his disciples, and the first message he preached to man was the Beatitudes. 4,000 years, he said, only through the prophets, but he didn't speak openly. God did not speak openly to man. And the first message he preached is the Beatitude. So we need to make note of the Beatitudes. Amen. So if we look at the Beatitudes, we can divide them into two groups. The first four Beatitudes is between you and God. You develop it in your inner closet. It's between you and God. The second four Beatitudes is between you and man. All right. So being born again is the most important. That's your first step of your Christian life. The second is to start to live out your Christian life. And that's being filled with the Spirit, as Pastor Ted Pyle preached this morning. And then that is how you develop as a mature Christian. So let's look at the first four. Blessed are those who mourn. What do you have to mourn over? You have to mourn over sin. Sin that is in your life. Mourn over you are not doing enough for God. It's more about me and not about God. Mourn about wasted time. Oh, I spend so much time in front of the television where I can spend that time with God. Mourn about this world that we live in with all its sin. The city that we live in. We are surrounded by prostitutes, drug houses. Mourn about selfishness. So there's so much we can mourn about. The second one is, blessed are the meek. Meek means humble, teachable. You must never think of yourself that you know everything. Always be teachable. Humble yourself before God. The next one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness, what is righteous? To be righteous is to do the right thing. First of all, do the right thing between you and God. Be righteous in God's sight. Live a righteous life. Where do we find the right things to do? Word of God. You live the Word of God. And then also live a righteous righteous life amongst men. Don't speed. Don't break the law. You so easily do it. All right. Righteousness. These four things that we've just discussed, that you develop between you and God. That's your relationship upwards. The next thing, the next four things are, blessed are the merciful. Mercy, have mercy on your fellow men. Think of people that has got problems. Just to listen to them when they confess and tell you about their problems. Material things. We've got so much. We've got the wealth with us, but we don't share. Be merciful. James 4 verse 17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So if you are not, you know how to do mercy, but you don't do it, it's sin for you. Be pure in heart. Walk a straight walk with God. Pure in heart. Let your, and also walk a straight walk with man. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, and that's it. Amen. Straight walk. Blessed are the peacemakers. God loves peace. God is the ultimate peacemaker. We should also be peacemakers. Make peace between husband and wife, parents and children, co-workers, people, and then most of all, peace between man and God. Get people saved. Make peace between man and himself. Bondages, strongholds, break that. Stop gossiping. Make peace and don't slander. All right. James 4 verse 11 says, "Do not speak evil for one of one another, brethren." But he who speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. And only one who is a judge of the law is God, not man. Amen. So here we see the next four is your relationship between you and fellow men. If you can get these four, eight in order, you will be a mature Christian. All right. Jesus summed it up when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your might, all your strength, all your soul. That is the first four. And love your neighbor as yourself, the second four. So if you can, if you are able to do the Beatitudes, you are a mature Christian or a perfect Christian. Then Jesus goes further and he says, all right, I've taught you now. I've given you the teaching. Let me put this teaching into practice for you. You will be persecuted, he says, for my name's sake. Counted blessings. You will be spitefully used. All right. And then he goes over and he says, be the salt of this earth. Be the salt of this earth. What does it mean to be the salt of this earth? What does salt do? Let's look at what salt does. First of all, salt is a preserving agent. If you make biltong and you don't put salt on the meat, it's going to frot. It's going to rot. If you make ham and you don't put salt on the ham and you hang it to be dry, the flies are going to lay eggs in it and it's going to be rotten. You as a Christian are the anti-rotting agent in the world. Doesn't help you being the anti-rotting agent in the church. You have to be in the world. Amen. Salt is an antiseptic agent. If you cut yourself and you put salt on your wound, you don't get an infection. If you've got a sore throat, and you gargle with salt, it heals, but it burns. If you go to the sea and you've got a wound there, it heals so much quicker if you swim every day in the sea, because it's an antiseptic agent. You as a Christian must be the antiseptic agent out there in the world. Yes, you are going to burn the people, by the things that you're going to tell them. They don't want to hear it. They're going to say, Aina, Mike hurts me. I don't want to hear that. I love my parties. Don't come and tell me other things. But you need to be the antiseptic agent out there in the world. Salt gives flavor to food. Without salt, meat, food is dull, bland, no flavor. Yes, you as the Christian, you are the flavor out there in the world. You need to give this world flavor. Without you, there's no flavor in the world. Salt makes you thirsty. If you eat a lot of salt, biltong, whatever, that salt, you become thirsty. If the world out there sees you as a Christian, they must become thirsty because they see something different in you. They see the salt in you. And they must become thirsty. And they want more and more to drink more and more of the living waters of God. Amen. Salt. If you are weak and you suffer from low blood pressure and you feel you've got no strength in you and you eat an apple with a little bit of salt on it, it picks you up, it raises your blood pressure immediately. If you go to an African person who used to plow with an oxen the field and that ox have become weary, what do? They take a handful of salt and they give it to the ox, and immediately that ox becomes strong again because it raises your blood pressure. You must be the power out there in the world that gives strength and power to the world as a Christian. Salt is a scrubbing agent. If you rub salt on your skin, it scrubs your skin. It removes the outer layer of skin. It removes the dead cells. You have to remove sin in the world. You need to be the scrubbing agent of this world out there as a Christian. And most of all, salt is essential for all kinds of life. Without salt, life cannot exist. Without you as a Christian out there in the world, this world cannot exist because it is destined for eternal death, second death, lake of fire and brimstone. If you are not the salt out there, the world will not have life. But Jesus gives a warning and he says, if salt loses its flavor, what is it good for? Useless. Only to be trampled on. Dare I say, if a Christian is not the salt out there, what is he useful for? Amen. James 2 verse 4 to 26. Is it that much? I don't think so. All right. Faith without works is dead. What does it profit, my brethren, if somebody says he has faith that does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and full, but you do not give them the things which they need for the body, what does it profit them? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But somebody will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? For was not Abram our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the message and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without the works is dead also. Yes, we cannot be saved by our works. We need to be saved by faith. But faith is made perfect by our works. Faith is made perfect by our works. We cannot boast only on faith. We need to have works also. The challenge now is, remember in the beginning, Jesus divided the people. He went up the mountain. He called those he wanted to himself. The rest stayed at the bottom of the mountain. The people were divided. Those who were part of the solution were on top of the mountain. Those who were part of the problem were down at the mountain. Where are you tonight? Are you on top of the mountain? Are you part of the solution? Are you the salt out there? Does the world see you differently? Or are you part of the problem? Ted Pyle this morning touched on my message. He said, let me just put on my glasses because I wrote very small here. I wrote this down while he was preaching this morning. More of you need to sit up in church. He wants to use you out there. This is Pastor Ted's words this morning. Then he went on and he said, Krugersdorp needs you. Are you only coming to church and sit in the church every Sunday and warm the pews? Or are you allowing God to use you? Are you religious? Religious Afrikaans is godsdienst. That means you're serving God. What is religious? Religion. Religious religion. It is man's way of serving God through traditions, through rituals. God doesn't want religion. He wants relationship. He wants you to obey Him. Jesus is not going to come to this world again to spread the gospel. You and I are the only Jesus, can I say in brackets, that the world will see. If we don't do our job, the world will never see Jesus. The next time that Jesus comes to this earth, He's going to judge this earth. That is at Armageddon. But we, as we walk out there, we must be little Jesuses. Yes, we will be persecuted, but we need to be the salt out there. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. There are no secret Christians. You cannot be a Christian on a Sunday morning only in the church. Then you are not the light. If you are a light, you are like a city on a hill. Everybody can see you from afar. Great 10. I don't know if the great 10s are still goes on a veldskool. What is a veldskool in English? Trip. All right. We went. We went to Hazy View. They gave us a lantern, and we had to stalk the lantern. So they drop you off all over in the bush, and they give you a compass. They give you instructions. Hold the compass with your left hand. You need to go, let's say, 10 degrees, whatever, and then you will reach the lantern. And in every group, there's always the clever guy and the one guy, yeah, I will do that. He's the clever guy in our group. And he took the compass and we walked. We never reached the lantern. Later on, we threw the compass away. We started to look and we saw a light. I think it was 10 miles away. And we dropped the compass and we walked because a light you can see. What did he do wrong? Didn't hold the compass in his left hand. He held it in his right hand. His watch pulled the magnet from the compass away from north. And we were lost totally. 3 o'clock that morning, we stumbled into a Graskop or somewhere. The only places that were open were the police station and the exchange, hand exchange. Knocked on the hand exchange. He said, yeah, we are lost. We got some cardboard boxes and we slept in front of the hand exchange. Luckily, the woman of the hand exchange rang the camp and they came and fetched us. What I'm trying to say is a light you cannot hide. Even in the bush where everything is dark, you can't see. A light 10 miles away we saw and we walked towards that light because we knew there was somebody there. That was our salvation. Are you the light of this world? Can the world out there see you and run or walk towards you? Or are you just as dark as the world out there? We just went through the Hunger and Thirst Conference. We all made a commitment. Yes, Lord, we are hungry for you. Are we hungry enough for God to be the salt? Those four beatitudes that has to do with this world, you can apply them in all those salt aspects that I've mentioned to you. All right. That is the question that I've... invitation that I want to make to you tonight. Are you the salt? Do you make a difference?